You may proceed.
May it please the court, I would like to reserve perhaps 3 minutes for rebuttal. There's time. I am Dave Heilberg. I've represented the appellant, Justin Serafin, throughout, all the way back to the General District Court. And the best way I can describe why we're here is going all the way back to that Valentine case, which was exactly 50 years before Mr. Serafin's arrest. There have been a lot of DUI cases, a lot of appellate cases. And we went from the farm road in Brunswick County in violation of the local ordinance all the way to the Serafin opinion below that says that if you're sleeping in your own private driveway after you've returned home, listening to the radio, key in the auxiliary, that is now operation. This case was originally tried in the General District Court after Nelson, but before Enriquez. And so General District Judge, like a lot of ordinary people, said, wish I didn't have to convict him, but that's what this court said. That is operation, key in the auxiliary and the radio operating. In the meantime, Enriquez has decided while we're on appeal, and as you can see from the record, we carefully preserved what the Court of Appeals has said is dicta, and that is operation occurs on a highway. And I would suggest to this court that that is an extreme result. I heard Justice Lemons ask in the last case about common sense, and people ask a trial lawyer like me who does a lot of criminal work, do you have any interesting cases? And this is an easy case to describe with undisputed facts. And nobody that asks me about my interesting case has been instructed as to the law in Virginia, as occurred here twice because there were two jury trials. And I would suggest to your honors, and you don't get a chance to do this, that nobody can believe he was convicted. He was convicted in his own private driveway. People have a sense that maybe that violated the Fourth Amendment. This was his private property. That's beyond the point. There's a statutory definition of operation. And I didn't see that in any of the cases that the in pari materia doctrine that I argued and briefed was considered. The words are not ambiguous or uncertain. They're certain. And in the context of 18-266, which is a different title, those are still defined words, and the court must read the code as a whole and apply them consistently. And this is where the common sense comes in. This is almost the extreme case. He's at home. There will be other facts involving private property that come up in the future. They're going to be parking lots, bar parking lots, shopping centers. And my suggestion to the court is that operation and driving are different for this purpose. That if you're operating on private property, you might be operating on a private driveway. I'm not saying you definitely are. There's case authority and that this court has decided as to operation or driving on private property. If you are driving on private property, it could be the parking lot where my office is or any kind of a shopping center parking lot, that very well could be violating the statute because private property doesn't matter. The character of the place where somebody is driving does. And so I suggest to the court that you really...
There's nothing in the statute that makes that distinction.
I'm not sure I understood Your Honor's question.
Well, the statute talks about operating, it talks about driving, and there's nothing that makes the distinction that you just made.
No, except that all driving is operating, but not all operating is driving. And so
you're conflating the highway concept and the operation concept in a way that I'm not sure it's all that helpful to you. I think there's some better arguments, but I don't see any distinction between the two in any of our cases. I don't see it in the statute. And I'm wondering where it comes from.
Because, as I put in the reply brief, there have been cases where, for driving suspended, habitual offender, Title 46-2 violations, when somebody is operating or driving on private property, and it could extend if the character of it is open to the public or obviously exposing the public to those risks, then it can be a violation. But here, it's a pure private driveway.
I understand that, but you're conflating the one part with the other. It's either it has to be on a highway or it doesn't have to be on a highway. There's one. On the other side, the defendant has to be operating or driving. But what you're trying to do is say, well, you got to actually take them together, and you can drive off a highway and be guilty of DUI, but you can't be guilty of operating a vehicle off of a highway and be guilty of a DUI, and I've never seen any distinction like that anywhere.
And I think the court is right, but in most cases, if you're parked, we're talking parked operation, which is probably the only kind there is, if you're parked in such a way that it was clear you had been driving or were, then the court is right. It could extend to that. But we're talking about somebody parked straight within a parking space. Obviously, this is where the idea of intent has confused things. Pretty clearly, and I've referred to it as the Compton dissent that this court approved, again, in Enriquez, that's a laudable public policy. Nobody can argue about that. That's the purpose of the statute. But what happens is, in preventing that, it encompasses anybody who is sitting behind a vehicle while intoxicated any place, under any circumstances. And I think what's coming, because in Enriquez you all said, doesn't matter where the key is positioned, because we're going to have push button and key fob starters. That's not before the court yet, but that's coming. And so, in essence, if you are, you could be operating the car without anything running under those circumstances. It would take a push of a button to go roaring off on the highway.
So it'd be if you've got the key thing in your pocket, right?
That's correct.
Okay. If I understand the distinction you're trying to make, is under the 18.2-266, it talks about it's unlawful for a person to drive or operate.
Yes.
And that for driving, you say that it's what we all think about driving, physically, you know, moving the car forward or backward, and that you can't do that anywhere. I can't drive my car intoxicated on my farm down in Lee County. But when it comes to operation, because we have had many, many cases that have tried to draw a line about what is operating and what is not operating. And we've said that operating in the Enriquez case was the key and auxiliary, so you've engaged the mechanical stuff in the car, that's operating, but that we've employed the definition of operating out of 46.2100 for that, and that talks about actual or physical control over a vehicle on a highway. And that's the distinction you're making? I want to try to understand your argument.
Yes, and of course the Court of Appeals and Judge Petras, in his opinion, said that that's dicta. You know, that wasn't necessary to the decision in Enriquez, and it's just a description of the facts. And I would suggest to the court that clearly when the word is not ambiguous, that you should apply the statutory definition that the General Assembly chose for its own violation here, drive or operate a motor vehicle, a train, or an engine, are what is prohibited by the statute. And as an example, rails, I think the Commonwealth thought I'm talking about all private property. I said, no, rails are just like a highway. They're open to the public, so anybody that's operating a train on rails is going to qualify. I suppose those are rarely prosecuted. The real problem is there are so many of these vehicle cases. And so, you know, my suggestion was that there be easy to enforce rules. As I suggested, that the officer would have two options in those circumstances. One was, and it's not explicitly in the facts, but it's really undisputed, he was 10 feet from his front door. He was cooperative. His roommate was present. His next door neighbor was present. You put him to bed safely. Or you arrest him for drunken public on those facts, in those circumstances, and really address the problem that this court was concerned with the Compton dissent approved in Enriquez. And so police and people need easy to enforce and understandable rules, and my suggestion is that makes sense and it appeals to common sense. It is just surprising. I suppose that the General Assembly has repeatedly toughened the law, encompassed more misconduct to become part of a violation of the drunk driving statute. The trend and intent is clear, but it has gone to the extreme. That's why I said it was like a game of telephone. You start with the Valentine Farm Road and you end up in Mr. Serafin's private driveway in Charlottesville, 10 feet from his front door after he's arrived home, with no intent to go anywhere at 3 a.m. Nothing's open. No intent whatsoever. And so I'm going to leave the argument at this point and reserve the remaining time for it.
All right, thank you.
May it please the Court, Virginia Tyson for the Commonwealth. The Court of Appeals correctly concluded that public ownership of property on which a car is operated is not an element. The Court of Appeals also correctly concluded that this Court did not add a public property element in Enriquez.
What's wrong with the distinction he's suggesting that we make between driving and operating?
Well, Your Honor, first of all, this is the first time that that distinction has been argued.
Well, let's get to the merits of it. What's wrong with it?
Because operating and driving is together in the statute. The General
but
Assembly...
But they must mean something different.
The General Assembly could have made different rules. They could have, for example, the General Assembly made a special rule with regard to mopeds within 182.266. A moped is a motor vehicle if it's on the highway. General Assembly chose to make that distinction. The General Assembly did not choose to make a distinction between operating and driving. Just like the General Assembly didn't choose to make a distinction about trains, and trains run not on the public highway.
So do you say that operating and driving under this code section are the same thing?
No, they mean different things. Certainly, they mean different things, but they are treated the same. Both operating and driving, while intoxicated, cause one to be guilty of the offense of driving under the influence. I know driving is part of the title, but operating under the influence, driving under the influence, they are, both of those actions are treated the same.
Ms. Tyson, let's take your premise for just a moment, that they are different in the sense of the definition, but they're treated the same.
Yes.
Let's focus on the highway part of it. In the Enriquez case, we said that the offense is committed when someone is operating or driving on a public highway, not once, not twice, not three times, but four times in that opinion. Now, it's been 2 years since that opinion has been handed down. What is the issue here with regard to the dicta question?
Your Honor, I think that the issue is because all of these prior cases were out there, Valentine from 1961 through Reynolds versus City of Virginia Beach in 2000, basically 40 years worth of cases where the issue was expressly before the appellate court with regard to public versus private. That was not the issue that was before the court in Enriquez. And this court in Enriquez not only didn't overrule all of those cases, this court didn't even mention those cases, and with good reason, because that was not the issue that was before the court. Enriquez's car happened to be at the bus stop on the road, so he was on the public highway. And this court did refer to and rely on 46-100, which has the definition of operation, which includes the highway. But the fact of the matter is that the case law for all of those years that this court did not mention and certainly did not overrule has explicitly held that
public ownership is not required. We said it four times in that case. I might remind you that the doctrine of judicial review in Marbury versus Madison was dicta, and it's turned out to be the most powerful dicta in the American jurisprudential system. So, I mean, we said it. And
Your
we
Honor,
said it clearly.
You did say it.
Now, let's explore it for just a moment. I find it, your position is that, and she raised it, so I'll walk
okay,
right into it.
Your
position is that if one of my colleagues is under the influence driving a pickup truck on 100 acres of land in Lee County, that's a prosecuting offense.
Yes.
And that's your position?
That is the position that this court took in Valentine versus Brunswick County, and that is still the law, yes.
Well, I guess the question is, should it be the law? That's the question that's before us today, because we've said four times in Enriquez that it has to be a highway, and now we're revisiting the question. You know, down where in the countryside where I live, it is not uncommon for an RV to be parked in a yard and for extended members of the family to live there. The Commonwealth's position is that if you've got the key in the ignition in order to use the electricity in the RV, and you're under the influence in the backyard, you're guilty of driving or operating under the influence of alcohol.
Only if you are behind the steering wheel. Only if you're behind the wheel of that RV. Yes, then you are operating, and if you are intoxicated, then you are subject to being prosecuted. And I want to add that.
Yes. How big would the pad of the officer have to be at a Virginia versus Virginia Tech football game under that theory? It boggles my mind.
It does.
What could happen?
But it absolutely, and I understand the question, and I understand why you're asking it. But I'd like to point out something else that this court mentioned in Enriquez.
Well, before you do, let me suggest this to you. Is that I can't imagine anybody getting the key in the ignition unless they were at least for a moment behind the wheel. But go ahead.
Your Honor, I want to point out that in Enriquez, in addition to relying on 46.2-100, this court also approved the dissent in Stevenson. I think this is very, very important. Because at the same time the court was quoting from 46.2-100, the court said the dissent in Stevenson got it right. And by the way, Stevenson's car was on a parking lot, a 7-Eleven parking lot. And what Justice Compton wrote, joined by two other justices, was, in my opinion, when a drunk is sitting in the driver's seat of a parked operable motor vehicle and he is alone and has inserted the key in the ignition switch, he's in actual physical control of the vehicle. What's really important about the dissent, however, is this part of what Justice Compton said. The reason for this liberal interpretation of the words operate, operator, and operating is obvious. A motor vehicle is recognized in the law as a dangerous instrumentality when in the control of a sober person. In the control of a drunk, the dangerous instrumentality becomes lethal. He continues, ordinary experience tells us that one in a drunken stupor in the driver's seat of a vehicle is likely to arouse abruptly, engage the motive power of the vehicle, and roar away, imperiling the lives of innocent citizens. That is the reason for the liberal interpretation of operation, and that is why a driveway qualifies as a place where one can operate under the influence, because it's this truth that is in the dissent that one need only do something very quickly upon arousing to hurt either himself or someone else. That is why the law has progressed through the years through Nelson and Gomenjami from the Court of Appeals, which this court refused the appeal for. Several other cases that have looked very carefully at just what is required to be operation.
Well, counsel, let's take the next case, because I'm sure it's coming. And it's the case that your opposing counsel mentioned. Right now, the only action you have to take upon being aroused is to actually turn the key that's in the ignition, just like that. Okay, let's go with the key fob case.
Okay.
That's where the technology's taking us. You are sitting in the car. That key is in your pocket.
Yes.
The only action you have to take is not this, but this. Violates the DUI statute?
Yes. Okay. And I don't have one, but I know that to start up the engine, I think you have to press the brake, at least the experiment that I tried.
We were at the bottom of the slippery slope with Enriquez. Now I realize that we're at the bottom of that we're not even at the bottom of the slippery slope yet, that we've got more cases to come.
Well, I think you might even go farther. Suppose you have a remote starter and you're in your living room and you start the car, you know, from a distance of 50 yards away.
I don't think that would qualify under, at least not the dissent in Stevenson that this court relied on in Enriquez, that in order to be the operator of the vehicle, you need to be behind the steering wheel. You need to be in the position, because that's the position where you can, without much else, cause a great deal of damage when that car roars off imperiling others, I believe, is the
phrase.
But it
seems to me that we get the question of operating on the one hand, and then where it's being operated on the other. That's what's being, in this case, that's what the trouble is. And it may very well be that we have a case where somebody has been off of a highway and has been convicted of DUI because they were either operating it, sitting behind the wheel, or actually driving it. That may very well have happened. The question is whether or not we ought to retreat from that enough to embrace common sense. The reason why on the highway is more dangerous is because if you're out in the middle of a cornfield on a four-wheel all-terrain vehicle or in a pickup truck, the danger is not the same.
Absolutely, the danger is not the same. There is still a danger.
So why not stop this trough that Justice Mim is talking about and say, all right, we said in Enriquez it has to be a highway. And we have definitions of highways, and we have them in the code, and we also have it in a case called Kaplan versus Bogard that neither side cites that was decided by this court in 2002. Why not retreat from what this I mean, I have counsel says that he put the facts to these people publicly and say, well, do you think somebody's guilty of DUI sitting in their driveway? And everybody says, no. Well, that's because common sense tells you you're on private property. Make it the top of a mountain on a 100-acre track. Are you guilty of DUI according to the Commonwealth? Yes. According to everybody who has some kind of common sense about it, I say, that can't possibly be. So why not cut the trough off by saying, all right, the operating, that's fine. You have the ability to engage the movement of the car. You're sitting behind the wheel, fine. But the place is the issue. And we said in Enriquez it has to be a highway. Why isn't that the proper resolution of this problem?
Your Honor, the legislature didn't choose to put highway in the DUI statute, and the legislature did choose to put a reference to a highway in two other statutes that are in 18-2. In fact, one that's in it's almost next door. It's the implied consent law. The legislature chose to say that the implied consent law is applicable if you are on the highway, and the legislature chose to say you cannot consume an alcoholic beverage when you're driving your car on a public highway. So the legislature is very capable of putting highway into the statute, even the statutes that surround 18-2-266, and yet the legislature chose not to put highway into 18-2-266 and chose to put operation of a train or an engine in there, which does not run on the highway. So the legislature has not chosen to make the offense committable only on a public roadway. And I believe that's one of the reasons that the appellate courts through the years have made that distinction. And in fact, in a couple of the Court of Appeals cases, they pointed out that the legislature had chosen to require the highway with regard to the implied consent law and had not put that into 18-2-266. And so for that reason, the legislature's made its decision, and its decision is...
But the yoking of implied consent is really interesting. Implied consent to what? To taking of blood to determine whether you're under the influence of alcohol.
Correct.
Well, how do you handle that disconnect? So what do? You're up on the top of a mountain in the middle of a 100-acre field, and a police officer comes up there and says, you know, I can't require you to take a breathalyzer.
That's right.
I can't require you to take a blood test. Why don't you stand on 1 foot here on the side of the mountain and see if you're drunk?
Well,
is that what the legislature intended?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that is certainly what the statutes would indicate, and in this case, no breath test was offered for that reason. I believe that even in a 7-Eleven parking lot, which is not a public highway, that officers understand that if they don't have the evidence without the blood analysis or the breath analysis, that's going to be a very difficult case because the legislature, for whatever reason, chose to include the operation on the highway for implied consent.
I guess the reason why I ask you is if they exclude it from the implied consent to a breathalyzer or a blood test, are you absolutely sure that they meant to exclude it from the highway? It seems inconsistent to me, and it's an inconsistent that we either purposefully or inadvertently resolved in Enriquez.
Well, Your Honor, I do think that the legislature has had many, many years to change the statute. And I understand the question, well, Enriquez has been out for a couple of years and there's been no change in the statute, but this case is still percolating along. Serafin is still percolating along in the appellate courts. But Valentine was in 1961, Gray in 1996, Mitchell in 97, Reynolds in 2000, where the appellate courts have said, no, operation need not be on publicly owned property. And even though the legislature changed the DUI statute in 2005, they did not make a change to include a requirement for operating on the highway. And that, under this court's own case law, is the legislature has acquiesced and approved in what the appellate courts have said with regard to DUI and operating not being required on the public property unless the statute or ordinance makes such limitation. And our statute does not make that limitation. And so as a matter of law, operation includes operation on in your driveway where you can hurt yourself or someone else very quickly, as the dissent in Stevenson pointed out.
So what I need to do to avoid prosecution in the RV is to turn the key on so I can listen to the radio and then slide over in the passenger seat.
You would not be behind the wheel, and I think that is certainly a requirement from the case law, because you would not be in that position. The purpose of defining operating liberally is to protect the public, and that includes you. And you would not be in as the same kind of position to cause the damage if you were not sitting behind the wheel. So I would say yes in answer to your question. I see that my time has expired. We'd ask for 5 minutes.
Just a few points in rebuttal. The in control part of the definition, if you're slumbering and you're away from home, I think home is not a distinction, but you're at the 7-Eleven parking lot or anywhere, the Compton dissent language is a real risk because you're not going to stay away from home. But when you are at home and you are slumbering in the deep slumber that apparently Mr. Serafin was in, that danger is lessened. Keep in mind what you can infer from the facts. He had been slumbering there for long enough for somebody, a neighbor, to call the police because the radio was too loud. The engine had not been, or the motor had not recently been run.
This whole area of the law is entirely too confusing to add a deep slumber exception.
I understand. And rather than try to talk the court out of what you clearly understand the decision is really before you, I suggest you did mean what you said in Enriquez, and I urge you to draw a line that anybody can follow.
Well, I have a question on drawing distinctions. How do you, I mean, it's easy to know what the difference is between a public highway and private property. It's not so easy to understand what the difference is between a public highway and a private highway or a private property that is used for a private highway. How do you do that? How do you draw those distinctions?
I would suggest that in the training video, if somebody is capable of driving off of private property or on private property, the case law, and I just cited it in my reply brief, says that that is a public highway. It doesn't matter whether it's private property or public property, and I think this court has actually given us the definition, and I said that I thought my parking lot where my office is wouldn't be hard for the court to resolve because there's a lot of people that come there to park. There's lanes of travel. It is private property, but that's what the statute is trying to prevent.
Well, if you look at the Kaplan case, you'll find we have defined it. It says, the true test of whether a way is a highway is whether the way or place of whatever nature is open to the use of the public for purposes of vehicular travel. And it cited any number of cases prior to that case for that definition. But neither side has cited Kaplan.
Correct. And, you know, without belaboring the point, my client's private driveway clearly doesn't fit that definition. There will be other cases. Somebody closes the bar. You can't stay here. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And they're parked in the parking lot outside the bar with the heater running. Or they've pulled off the road and there are those cases, far off the road to slumber. They started to
What about the definition that's in Code Section 46.1-200?
And that's it. It says on a highway. That's easy to enforce. So when somebody is parked off the highway or on private property, then the fact finder has to decide whether it's a private driveway or a public highway based on the physical facts of each case, and that's always been done.
I've got one question for you. I understand you're trying to draw a distinction between driving and operating. Driving could be anywhere, operating on the highway only. What do you do with engine or train in the DWI statute?
I thought about that. The train, it was easy, and I addressed it in the reply brief. It's on rails, and the rail is a public highway. It may be private. You're not supposed to cross the tracks. I've seen university students prosecuted over the years. But it really is a public highway. That's what it's for, so that's not an issue. The engine, I was trying to think what that was, a riding lawnmower? So somebody's having a few beers mowing their lawn on their private property. Are we prosecuting them? What if they go off private property and start taking a tractor or a lawn tractor on a highway? That might be a different fact pattern, so that's easy.
But they can sit behind the lawnmower with the ignition on the accessory and drink beer, I guess.
You know, the new tractors have cabs and radios in them.
I see my time is up.
Thank you very much. Call the next case, please.